call, you know, give her your best. She's quite a gal, put it mildly.
She's
and she's tough, you know, and yet she's very dispassionate.
Oh, yes.
She's going to run again.
I like her much better.
They're the super righteous types. The Indians drive me right up.
Sanctimonious. God and everything that is.
We're a bunch of, you know, we discriminate against everybody.
Yeah, I remember at the dinner with Jay Parker here just before they frankly invaded the East Pakistan, and they damn well did. They were responsible. I paid her a very high tribute being, you know, a great personality in her own right, not just because of her father, who also sat there and did so long. She got up and made the most really ungracious response and just lecturing us about that we were a wealthier country, but we could learn things from them.
Yeah.
Our ideals and morals and so forth.
I know.
But it was an ungracious thing.
Well, they just lack a manner.
They have no morals.
This Indians
are slippery.
Oh, I've had a deal with
their trustworthy.
Pakistani's got some integrity with them. I mean, totally, you and I agree 100%. They're just phony. Plain phony. Well, anyway, I had a good chat with the Shaw, and of course, I conveyed your best wishes to him, and he is, you know, completely pro-Western. Of course, God knows what happens when the Shaw goes. I mean, I think that place is got more trouble inside this president than Shaw lets on. Well, the Shaw keeps talking about the Indians being a threat to him, and the Iraqis with the Russians, I think. And the urban guerrillas being financed, you know, by the Russians. But my scuttlebutt is that there's just a lot of work that needs to be done in the country.
He's done quite a bit.
I think he's spending more on defense than he needs to. And of course, this worries the Saudis and so on. And
he wants to play a great power role there, which he's really not capable of playing.
Yes, sir. He feels he has a procurement program of $800 million for helicopters. He's bought 3 Concords. He's a flyboy. You know, he wants to fly. He's going to put helicopters on destroyers. And it's kind of comical in many ways. But anyway, what I wanted to make a comment or two on this. I know you're busy. And I'm going
to correct.
I think I spent a day and a half with the Saudis. That's a bad situation down there. They're all for us. But that area is ripe for a coup. Something's going to, frankly, happen.
Would you do me a favor, John Conway, who's going down there? That's a question of...
thanks. This is tea.
That's
all right. If you have tea, I prefer tea.
Yeah.
Tea and sugar, that's all. I don't know. You want me to call him?
If you would call Conway.
Sure.
And just get him on the phone and tell him you and I were talking, and I wanted you to get a full report on your views about what the hell he ought to tell Faisal. Because Conway's going on business, I presume.
Right.
But on the other hand, Conway will go, and he always tells him what he knows he's coming from horses now. And just tell him what Faisal ought to hear, and Conway can lay it into him. So you do it. Tell John that you and I were talking, that I asked you to call.
Right.
Give you your
options. All right.
Now you jump.
Well, let me just.
I understand you have to deal with it. We're in the middle, as you know. Not in the middle, but we're. Let me tell you a word about the energy thing. I know you're talking about
it. I had lunch.
We have taken scoop the whole energy thing. You see, everybody's fighting over in the government. The Interior Department naturally wanted to handle it, the Commerce Department wanted to handle it, the Burries. The Atomic Energy Commission thought they were the people who do it. The Defense Department has a hell of an interest in it. The State Department, of course, because of the
Internet,
so on. I finally decided that the whole energy, because they cut across so much of government, that it's one of the few things we're cutting the White House staff way down.
Thank you.
Had to be handled with an ad hoc or deal with the Russians.
I know.
That's involved in this thing.
I know.
It's a real deal. The energy people might be all for it, and the oil company for it, but we may want to grade our feet a bit about that because of foreign policy. So I would like it. I want to tell you that at this point, part of our discussion here, I know you're interested in it. I asked on some of your observations directly to John Ehrlichman, on it, because I think we eventually will have, we haven't done
on the organizational end of it. Both on some of it as well.
Well, anything that you have, anything you want to grab, any suggestions on organization address, but also on substance, because we will have in place perhaps in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks trying to drive on a top person.
They headed up.
A top person.
The other fellow, Ethan Flanagan, has, I would say, he's a good back guy.
You see, we need a creative guy who is not thinking just of one part of it. A creative guy who's thinking of the whole damn business. We got to have a very top-like guy in transportation.
The annual take of the Saudis will be over $20 billion a year. And in the Gulf, it will run $60 billion a year, just in revenue. And our balance of payments deficit by 1980 will be between $17 and $20 billion. Mention one word on energy, and I'll mention a word about the middle, about Central Europe.
Before you leave that, let me say one other thing, however. We have to face the fact that most of our leaders are not in support of the Israeli position, that the Israeli Arab conflict is one that gnaws at the very vitals of any viable policy we can have in that area, and that at some time we have got to, in some way, work something out. Now, what the hell we can do, I don't know. Fortunately, the Shah is the most, I guess he still is, he's the most understanding of the Israeli position.
He is
the Saudis are absolutely nuts on it.
Oh, well.
But, you know, this is the problem now, because you have the Algerians, the crazy Algerians, and needless to say, the Algerians, the Syrians, and all the rest are around there. They surround them. Here's Israel in the middle. We're all bad Israel.
Well, the Saudis are not bad. They're
They better get off their butts.
They've been dragging their ass for a while. Third thing is geothermal, energy-wise. And fourth is nuclear power. Fifth are incentives. This is an old fight to step up drilling. And sixth is Canada. Jesus, Canada's sitting up there. They got these huge gas reserves. And that gets into the LNG thing. And I think you ought to go real slow on that LNG business. From Russia. And from, I know the Russians don't have anything else really to sell. And I know what the gate is. But, you know, imagine with the dependence we have. See, we're getting 27% of our oil now abroad. 1980, it'll be 50% by 1980 that we'll be bringing into the country. And then if we're going to get our natural gas from Algeria, it's about as dependable as yesterday. And if the Russians are going to be a source, it seems to be a mistake. But those are six quick little points that I would make on that. One quick word about, we met with Tito and all the heads of state in Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, Romania, and Czechoslovakia. Tito has got real ethnic problems. He's struggling with, he's a Croat, he's got the Serbs and the Slovenes, you know, and they decentralized. Well, they're getting tight control. No one knows. Everyone, you know, asks what happens when Tito goes. Tito, you know, he's 80 years of age, and God, he's tougher than hell, and he's 70. Yeah, and he's very friendly to you, and yeah, he got at 10 o'clock in the morning, he was throwing down the brandy. Anyway, he says, look at me, I'm healthy, don't worry about succession, you know, immortal. But there's, I think, a real, I asked him about Brezhnev, and the Brezhnev doctrine. He says, Brezhnev is flexible, he wouldn't answer the question. That's right. He's scared to death.
Right.
Goddamn right. And the moment the Russians are going to play that, orchestrate that thing, Tito dies, there's no real leadership taken, they're going to move. In my judgment, I may be wrong. He implicitly is aware of it. The Bulgarians are more Russian than the Russians.
I never know.
Oh, it's just.
But he is basically
to us, and I think there...
There's a relationship, too.
Right. I think there ought to be a few extra goodies to you, so that the others learn by example. The Bulgarians are hopeless. I mean... Yeah. It's just, as I say, they're more Russia than the Russians. They're Slavs. You can't do a damn thing with them. The Czechs, I think we can do something with. People. And likewise with Rumania. They really need technical help. And the interesting thing is that they all agreed on one point, that we lead the world in science and technology and economic output. And they're an immense. And they want help. And I think it's people. I wouldn't get bogged down in a big, phony. It's because it is phony. They don't have anything really to say.
We talk about East-West trade. There's a lot of malarkey.
People will help us more ideologically, too, because they want to see the United States. And the more, it's the old story, the more the freedom, the better. One last thing, of course, is our situation on defense and arms control. I just like to make a couple of general comments. I would like to see, I hope this Richardson thing will work out. What I'm worried about is that Elliot is going to bring in Jonathan Moore, and I'm on the Institute of Politics at Kennedy School of Government. And it's Jonathan Moore is one of the fellows up there. He's bad news. And it's that Jerry Wiesner syndrome. It's like Bill Miller that, got in with Cooper. I'm going to see Elliot tomorrow. He wants to talk to me. And I'm going to be very blunt with him, because Elliot is just...
You see, Jonathan Moore and the other fellow we had was Webb, one of our bright guys here.
Yeah.
Who left here to us in Cambodia.
Yeah. Subconsciously, they'll influence them. We've all watched that in the arms control. That's the only thing I worry about, and...
You've given all your names, and we're working on it now, on ours.
Yeah.
Those guys are... I tear the hell out of that place.
I talked to Al Haig before I came here. And,
yeah. And today?
Just now, and gave him a little rundown. One thing... But you don't need, you can cut that staff down.
We are going to lose $900 a year.
Just get a first-rate guy in there running it. Bill Rogers called me about Alex Johnson as the chief negotiator, I gather. I think Alex's fine. He's not
a negotiator.
Yeah. But separate the two.
Basically, we negotiate from here.
Sure.
He's
an operator who'll carry out instructions.
Carry out instructions. And we found this. Alex didn't agree with Cambodia, and he didn't agree with May 8, but he carried it out.
Yeah. He's loyal.
He's a loyal man.
He's honest.
He's one of the rare, that's why he's a fine Foreign Service officer. But on that, let me tell you, after our talk the other day, I stirred the pot on that. We're separating two jobs. But I want somebody in charge of active that will cut the hell out of that spam. That's a poisonous outfit.
That's right. They just...
They're some bad guys. We know all the names, and we won't... You don't need to worry about
it. But they're disloyal. What my point is that they're disloyal to you. They're part of this syndrome, you know, that really they're governing the whole government. Sure. And they've got a tie-in, and the moment you send something over to them, they have it up at MIT, and that whole crowd of American Association of Scientists, Federation of Scientists, and that whole crew. Well, I talked to Al Haig, too, about Ed Rowney. And he's the general, he's the you know, the genius, and he swears by him. Now, just frankly, Henry indicated to me that Abraham didn't like too much, but I want you to know about that.
Who's Abraham?
Abrams, the chief of staff.
I'll
get that. Abrams, very, you know, he is not yet. Ed Romney's a PhD. He got his...
Right, says Abrams is a good field commander.
That's right. But this job ought to be elevated to a four-star spot with a staff back of it, Mr. President. So
wait a minute. Talk about Romney. In what position? What?
I'm talking about being on the delegation, taking...
you're taking the place of the Air Force man.
That's right.
Why? Well, I think this is under time.
But that ought to be... That ought to be upgraded. For sure, that's done.
All right.
That ought to be upgraded to a four-star spot.
Now, let me tell you, he's on there. He'll be tough. No question. You vouch for it.
Oh.
And smart.
But ask Haig.
Haig thinks so.
Haig says he is the brightest man in the Army.
Well, also, it's a way to build him up.
Let me just give you a quick. He got his B.S. from Johns Hopkins at 19. He graduated from the academy right after that with his B.S. degree. He got a double master's from Yale, one in engineering, one in political science, and he has his PhD in public administration. He's a three-star general. He's 55. And he ought to be a four-star.
But he's just too smart for the damn people.
That's right, and they don't take him. And one last thing, Ken Ballew. Now, John Stennis and I feel that Ken Ballew, he's undersecretary. But we're going to have a worse fight in the Senate than we did before, because we've had a net national security loss in the Senate, I'm afraid.
You can't go ahead.
Well, the Democrats that came in are all, none of them, some of the Southerners are all right, but geez, the others are going to be bad, and I'm afraid in Alex.
For example, Alex, you got a bad one. You got a bad man. I'm speaking to the bad man.
Well, I know, but they're wrong.
On Delaware, it's true, you suffered a loss.
Delaware, Iowa,
Colorado.
And you better add Maine. I don't, Hathaway will follow Muskie. So there's four.
That's right. Of course, Mark.
And then it's offset by...
It's offset, of course. Of course, you'll have improvement in Oklahoma.
You'll be over a fresh.
You'll have an improvement transfer out there. In Kentucky.
Huddleston is a plus.
See, he'll be better than John Turner.
That's right.
You'll have a stronger, Scott will be further to the right than he is.
But you won't have any trouble out of Georgia, North Carolina. Helms is very far right in North Carolina. He'll give you a bad time. One other last thing.
Yeah,
go ahead. Williams utilized John Sherman Cooper in some capacity, maybe ambassador at large, as a bridge to the fuzzy wuzzy world. He would be good on NATO. No Bill Miller around. Bill Miller is his, you know, the guy. So, but John is excellent on troops for Europe, NATO. But you could give him a title of ambassador at large and use him with the fuzzies. Now, John is loyal. He's a funny guy.
Oh, I know. I know. He's a wonderful man.
John has become
a beauty. He has become the George John said.
Yeah,
I know what it is.
Exactly.
But John is a wonderful man.
But he'd be loyal if you give him instructions.
Now he's out from under here.
I think he could help you. You know, John can talk to the fuzzies on our side and on the Republican side. We've got him on both sides. He's good for 3 or 4 votes in a crunch.
He is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm suggesting this as an assist to you because, you know, I've had my bitterest fights with John over the ABM. And I fought him, you know, he fought me on my amendment on the
parity
and salt. But that Bill Miller, he's no good.
I don't know him, but I know he gives bad advice.
You got to chop him, you know, and give him the business.
You know something? I wonder if isn't that really the problem with too many of our friends on the side. The damn staff are too big, and they've got staff members on there that are frankly got more time to study the issues than they are to mislead these people.
That's quite wrong. They're just weak. They just turned over their staff. And the staffs are being influenced by some very bad groups. Council for a Livable World.
Yes. Yep.
I know the whole.
You know how it is.
The rhetoric.
You know yourself, having served in the Senate in any position, that you have to rely on staff time. You know how that person who gets in there, your administrative assistant or your legislative, now they got so damn many, they got bigger staffs. But they'll get in there and they'll talk to you and they'll see what mail comes to your attention and they'll see what calls come to your attention. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And hello in the back of a senator.
And the real, the bad guys are lobbying these staff types, you see that.
Yeah.
That's suspicious.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to help you because I think we've got a real battle in the Senate, obviously.
Yeah.
As I told you 4 years ago, they were going to, you know, not give you any leeway. And I noticed Teddy Kennedy's a little friendlier, but...
that's massive.
No, they're going to be petty and vicious and all that stuff.
Well, look, if you've got to figure stupid, some of those that also got to go there. I mean, I suppose that these days, the important thing is that all the presidential stuff starts so early.
I'm sorry.
No.
But I want to help you on all that as best we can. But think about Ken Blue. I don't know what's going to happen on that secretaryship over there, but I think you'll make Stennis very happy. Stennis.
Blue is well liked, in other words.
Stennis, Blue can help you on the Hill. I think you need one guy who's worked with the Democrats previously. Ken has never had any political affiliation.
No.
He was.
Sarah Harlow's great friend, but that's not all.
Yeah, Ken was regular Army, and he got retired. He only had his foot shot off in Korea, and he came up. He's a real nice guy, and he is loyal, and he knows the Army. He was a full colonel in the Army, and he has good contacts on the Hill, and he can be damn helpful. God knows the Defense Department needs it, and. I would strongly recommend you seriously consider him, and I think Al Haig feels that way too.
Yeah.
He knows him.
Yeah.
And of course, Folke is there. But if there is to be a change,
we'll
change. Ken will be loyal to you. That's
right.
All I want to say. And I have no time for these guys.
Well, you know, they really should be loyal to you. It's a sort of a strange ethic that has developed these days. People that really are supposed to get ahead of those that are going to chop the man down. You know, there's going to be a hell of a lot less of this time. I know later. From the Iliad and the Odyssey, he pulled the beam and the gates of hell, and he's a height of one thing, his heart better than another. And there's a lot of these sons of one thing. He pulled to me, even under the gates of hell, is he who hideth I'll get in touch with John Conway and also with
you would call John.
And John Irwin.
And yeah, that Irwin.
On the actor stuff, you want to keep in touch with Al Haig and Henry or
Al is the best. Well, Henry too, but Al will know. Will know.
What's that?
Will know that he knows it, and Henry knows too. But Al will follow up because I told him our line is hell. And
well, I like Henry's tied up in all this.
I'll just keep in touch with him, but it's the same thing. Back up in L, it's me.
Right.
Wrong analyzed.
Very good.
He's terrific.